They have just made me hungry. I think I need some chocolate up here. A very good morning, brothers and sisters, friends. Thank you for joining us for this year's Easter service. It's a great joy for us to be here gathered to celebrate Easter. My name is Tak Ming, Pastor Tak Ming. It's my great joy to share with you what I'm excited about for Easter this year. I will have some slides coming up. But, you know, what's so special for me about Easter is because we are actually today celebrating the climax of a 40-day series of events, starting from Ash Wednesday, which actually happened to be the second day of Chinese New Year, where we, you know, went into some deep repentance and had ashes and all that. And as we went through the 40 days of Lent, we came upon the previous week that was called Holy Week. And we had this wonderful service on Thursday. I don't know how many of you were here on Monday, Thursday. Can I see any hands? Yeah, you enjoyed that? Yeah. So for once, we understood what Jesus meant by washing our feet. And He told us that just as He has washed our feet, we are to wash one another's as well. And it was such a deep, moving beginning for our Holy Week. And I just thank God that we had been able to come into a deeper understanding of what this season means for us. So for those of you who may have been to our prayer journey or been here on Good Friday service or you're here today, if the Lord has spoken to you in some way and left a deep impression, has inspired you in some way, we have a link which normally should be able to come up on the screen, but we will have faith that it will come up. And you can go up onto that link and you can pen a thought, you can share a feeling or something that you learned in the process so that we may all be encouraged. Ah, there we go. Okay. If you want, take a picture of this and you can use this to share your thoughts and how the Lord has blessed you over this Holy Week and Lent season. But today, on Easter Sunday, I want to talk to you about something that is very deeply in my heart. Okay, let me see whether I can advance this slide. Okay. All right, maybe you can help me to move to the next slide. Today, I want to share with you a sermon entitled Surprise by Hope. Surprise by Hope. And it's a little bit related to the Easter eggs that the drama was all about. Why are we surprised by hope? Actually, as we think about the Easter story over the different accounts of what happened on that first Easter Sunday, there are so many surprises that greeted different people. And I want to bring you into some of these surprises. But more importantly than that, why was it even surprising? The most surprising thing is that the resurrection actually took place. In case you're wondering whether Easter has come about because of bunnies or because of Easter eggs or because of some kind of a myth or some fairy tale story, I want to share with you that, in fact, there are very concrete and very scientific reasons for believing that the resurrection of Jesus actually took place. Let me give you just a few examples of reasons why we can put our faith in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Firstly, He was dead. One of the arguments that say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead was that He was not dead in the first place. But we must remember the Good Friday story, the crucifixion story. And if the Romans were good at something, the Romans from the Roman Empire in those days, the Romans were not particularly inventive, but the Romans were very efficient. If they did something, they did it well, and they make sure they accomplish what they do. And one of the cruelest things that the Romans did was to be able to put people to death, both in a very painful as well as very entertaining way for those who are into this kind of bloodlust. But most importantly, it was a very effective way. Not only is the person who is nailed to the cross eventually going to be to die of exhaustion, but if by a certain amount of time they are not dead, then the Romans would break their legs to make sure they could no longer breathe, and that would ensure that they die. But in the case of Jesus, His legs were not broken, because by the time they came to Him to break His legs, He had already breathed His last. And just to make sure that He was dead, the Roman soldier drove a spear into His side. And with that spear wound, blood and water came forth. Now, why would that be blood and water? There can only be blood and water if He has been dead for so long that the blood, which is actually you know, red blood cells, right, suspended in this liquid, has already settled down into red blood cells at the bottom and this clear liquid on top. So when he was pierced, blood and water came forth. That's a sign that his blood has already stopped flowing for a long time and he has actually separated into the solid and the liquid. That's why blood and water. So the certainty of death by crucifixion is something that is almost guaranteed. The Romans always get the job done. That's why the empire lasted for so long. But more than that, the religious leaders who conspired to get Jesus nailed to the cross, they have heard him say that he would rise up from the dead. It's not that they believe in the resurrection, but they were afraid that his disciples will come and steal the body. So to buy a little bit of additional insurance, they went to tell the Roman governor, can you please put a platoon of Roman soldiers outside the tomb, put a seal on it to guard that tomb so that nobody can come and tamper with the tomb, steal the body and say, nah, Jesus is alive. To make sure that that doesn't happen, they put this burly Roman soldier, not like me, I'm hardly a Roman soldier, to guard the tomb. But yet the gospel story tells us that at the break of dawn, there was an earthquake, an angel appeared, rolled the stone away, and the Roman guards fell down as though dead. And that was the moment that Jesus rose from the dead. The posting of the guard, they were the first eyewitness. The Romans saw Jesus rose from the dead. And that's how we got the empty tomb. When the disciples got to the tomb, they found that the body was not there. And if you were following the readings, they found the grave clothes just lying there. That means they were not unwound. It was as if the body of Jesus simply disappeared from within that cocoon. It was just emptied of the body. The tomb was empty. And to prevent this from becoming a scandal, the religious leaders bribed the guards to say, tell people that the disciples came and stole the body. Don't worry, if you get into any trouble with your Roman commanders, we will cover you. And they bribed the guards to do that. That was a degree of desperation that the religious leaders who put Jesus to death went to cover up the scandal of the missing body of Jesus. Of course, that's not the only evidence. The best evidence is that Jesus, having risen from the dead, had multiple eyewitness encounters with people who knew him, his disciples, the women at the tomb, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes two, sometimes one whole room of people. And at one point, even 500 people at once. And Jesus met them outdoors. Jesus met them indoors. Jesus met them while walking along the street, going to somewhere. Jesus met them by the seashore. Jesus met them over breakfast. Now, I like that. How about you? If you meet Jesus, would it be nice to meet him over breakfast? Huh? Too late, when breakfast is over already. You can meet Jesus at lunchtime. But Jesus met people, and he not only met people, it was not an apparition, a ghost or a phantom. Jesus actually ate with them. Jesus even prepared breakfast for them. And Jesus even invited them to touch him physically. Put your hands into my scars. See that it is I. And they did. And they saw that it was indeed the Jesus that had recently been nailed to the cross, recently put into the tomb, completely drained and lifeless, but now very much alive. But the final evidence I want to share with you for the resurrection of Jesus is that these people who saw Jesus did not keep quiet. Despite all the efforts that the religious leaders, the Romans, tried to suppress this scandal of a missing body, they went around talking about it like mad, you know. And that is the reason why the Christian faith is still alive today. Because the story of Jesus that was told is not just a story of a very wise man who said this, who did that, but it's a story of someone who died and rose again. And someone who has given new meaning to life to those people who believed in him. And these witnesses, the Greek word for witness is martyrios. Martyrios. They kept to that story. They insisted that the resurrection was true, even to the point of being threatened with death. And that's why the word martyr has come about. Martyr is someone who is willing to be killed, willing to give up their life to stand by what they have said, to stand by what they have witnessed. The word witness literally is someone who gave up his life to hold on, to insist that what he witnessed actually happened. If it did not happen, why would literally thousands, if not millions of people for the past 2,000 years give their life? Especially that first generation. And from this, we can tell that the Jesus that we talk about today, when we sang, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow," this Jesus is truly alive. And because he's alive, we are able to look back upon the different people who encountered him. And I want to share with you four surprises in Jesus' resurrection. The first surprise is that the forces of evil could not believe that Jesus had life in himself to be able to overcome death. It is not that the Jewish religious leaders did not hear Jesus talking about who he was. He claimed very openly that he was God, that he and the Father was one. And he even said that as the Father has life and God the Father has life in himself, so he has granted Jesus the Son also to have life in himself. This is not spoken in a corner or whispered behind closed doors. This was publicly declared. But yet, in spite of that, the religious leaders, the enemies of Jesus, motivated and inspired by the forces of evil, choose to believe that the power of death is stronger than the power of life. And that's why, after Jesus rose from the dead, Paul the Apostle, he wrote this in 1 Corinthians, "None of the rulers of this age understood this. None of them understood that life is more powerful than death." The enemies of Jesus thought that with death, they could squash his movement. If you kill the leader, the disciples will flee. If you crush it, nip it at the bud, the problem will be ended. Death will have the final say, whether it's through the cross or it's through the oppressive system. But they didn't understand that they are not dealing with a mere man. They are dealing with someone who has life within themselves. If they had understood this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That is the first surprise. My friends, today we live in a world where there is much injustice, where there is much wrong being committed, where the forces of darkness and evil continue to act with impunity, bombing schools, hospitals, committing atrocities, whether on at a small scale or even at a global scale. And this is done in the belief that human power, once you have that power, you can visit death upon anyone and there's no accountability for it. But as we saw in the resurrection of Jesus, that was a miscalculation. That in this world, in this universe, there is God who has become man, God who has power within himself, that man in his evil can do his worst, but God will rise even from the dead. Death cannot kill God. God overcomes death and comes back and calls for accountability. So if you understand this first surprise, then I want to invite you to think about this question. How much can we rely on human wisdom and power? Do we not realize that there is a higher power that is in control, that is at work? And even as we may sometimes become the victim of some of this injustice, some of this wrong, some of this evil that's happening in the world, do we need to really be so discouraged that there will be no accountability? Maybe in my lifetime, that I may not see the accountability, but God remembers. And there will be accountability for all sin, all evil, and all injustice. And to me, that is good news. That means those who are victims, they do not suffer in vain. That they are not utterly destroyed, because the one who overcomes death is there to raise them up again. But that is when we are getting to the second surprise. And the second surprise is that even the disciples of Jesus, though they have heard Jesus speak on many occasions and they have even professed, and many of them even say, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But yet, in practical terms, when it comes to their daily life, when it comes to their decision making, they are still driven by their own fear. They are still driven by expectation of Jesus as if he was just an ordinary human being. Jesus told them, I and my Father are one. And yet, they lost that faith when they see Jesus die on the cross. As if everything that Jesus said doesn't matter anymore. They are just falling back on ordinary human expectations. That's why that morning, the women went to the grave. They did not go to the grave to see an empty tomb. They were utterly surprised that the tomb was empty. They came to the grave carrying spices with which to embalm what? The body of Jesus. They came with the expectation to find a body. In their mind, maybe even in their emotions, they say, yeah, Jesus said he will rise again. But in their practice, they say, I'm going to bring some spices to put on his body, as if his body was still going to be there. And even Peter, who was the most gung-ho of his disciples, who said, I will never betray you. When he went there, he saw, he was dumbstruck. The tomb was empty. But he just didn't know what to make sense of it. But that is so normal of us as human beings, because often our imagination is limited and our faith is limited to what we can control. But today, as surprised as the disciples were, that if Jesus is who he said he was, then he's going to act consistent with what he claims. If he says that he has life in himself, means that death cannot hold him. If he says that he can open a way for us, that means that if we follow him, we will see the path open. And that is what it means to act according to what we believe. I wonder many of us may have heard the story of Jesus for many occasions, many times. But in our daily lives, in the way we make decisions, we have not actually given ourselves, put ourselves into his hands to follow what he has taught us. And we are still doing things on our own strength, based on our own understanding as an ordinary human being. But today, this second surprise challenges us to ask this question. How seriously do you believe in Christ as God? If you truly believe that Jesus is God, then will you follow him all the way? And don't just settle on saying, oh, he's a nice man. Oh, he was a good religious teacher. Oh, he has a lot of wisdom. I will consider what he says. Because if this is Jesus who rose from the dead, then what he has to say is not optional. The claim he makes on our life is not something that we can take it or leave it. Because if we leave it, it means that we are missing out on something that we will regret for all eternity. But if we take him at his word and we follow him and we trust him and we walk in the way he calls us to walk and we give our life to follow him, then we will be part of his resurrection community. Which brings us to my third surprise. And the third surprise is that Jesus was risen from the dead 2,000 years ago. We can agree on that. Or at least you can see the evidence for that. But we may ask, what has that got to do with my life today? And here is the good news I have for you, brothers and sisters. Because the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely to raise him from the dead, but that power is given to everyone who believes in him to raise us day by day into a new future. Now you may say to me, Pastor Tang Ming, what you're talking about? What are you talking about? I'm not dead yet. I don't need the resurrection. What I'm talking about is not your bodily resurrection. What I'm talking about is the life that we have lived before today. Yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, many of us, we live carrying the baggage of yesterday, the trauma of our childhood, the regrets of the mistakes that we have made, the disappointments that we had in others, or the way that we have disappointed them. Many of us, we live in this mindset that we are limited because we are too weak, or we have failed and we cannot make it. Many of us carry the hurts of yesterday and we hold on to those hurts, those unforgiveness, because we are stuck living today as if we are back at that point in time when we were hurt or when we failed or when we disappointed someone. We are living in the past. But this is what St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, verse 8 to 10. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. that I may know Him. Here's the key. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So for Paul, knowing Jesus is not just, oh, I know there's somebody called Jesus. Knowing Jesus is not just, oh, I come to church and I sing a song about Him and I pray some nice prayers and sing some nice choruses about Him. But knowing Jesus is to experience His resurrection, the power that rose Jesus from the dead, working in me. I may be physically alive, but the part of me that is stuck in the past, the part of me that was hurt, the part of me that was broken, the part of me that I'm disappointed in, the part of me that others are disappointed in me, that part is dead. But Paul says, the power of His resurrection is able to work in us. And that is the good news for us today. Because if you have met Jesus, if you know Jesus, Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians, where the Lord is Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He has called us. The power of His resurrection is there to set us free from our past, to set us free from our regrets, so that we may be transformed into the same image, the image of the risen Christ, from one degree of glory to another. The resurrection is very surprising. That He was risen 2,000 years ago is surprising enough. But more surprising is that that power is at work in each one of us. As long as you would trust Him, as long as you would say, Jesus, I'm tired of my past. Jesus, I'm tired of the unforgiveness. Jesus, I'm tired of the trauma. Jesus, I'm tired of my failure. Jesus, I want to be raised with You. That very moment, my brothers and sisters, your life will never be the same again. And from day to day, from year to year, from decade to decade, if you trust Jesus to do that, He is transforming you from glory to glory. How much do you want that power to be working in you? That is why we are here today. Even if you have been a Christian for many years, that can be something that is hidden or surprising to you. But today, that doesn't have to continue. From today onwards, you can say to Jesus, let every day be for me a resurrection. You know, for me, it's almost literal because I don't wake up easily in the morning. I need 3 alarms to wake up. On top of that, my wife has to shake me and beat me, short of throwing water on me, you know. So every morning in our household, it was like a minor miracle of the resurrection. But eventually, I wake up physically. But there's one resurrection my wife cannot do. And that's the resurrection of me from my past mistakes. Me from my weaknesses. Me from my past hurts. Me stepping into a new day with Jesus on new terms, with a new power that only Jesus, the resurrected one, can give. And this is one I want to invite you, brothers and sisters. Whether it's the first time that you hear about Jesus' resurrection, or you know about it in theory, but you never realize it's a surprise to you that it can operate in you, I want to invite you to come for prayer as I pray for you in a short while. But that is the third surprise. But I have one more surprise for us before we end. There is the original resurrection 2,000 years ago. There is the present daily resurrection that is working in us, transforming us day by day. But friends, one day our physical life will come to an end. What happens? Sometimes in Christian funerals, we get the impression that when we die, we'll go to heaven, we'll float around in the clouds, we'll have wings, you know, and then we'll have a harp, you know. You know, why harp? Why not saxophone? For whatever reason, harps, you know. And for all eternity, we'll be playing harps. But what happens if I'm tone deaf? What happens if I don't like music? What happens if I'm a photographer? I'm not a guitar player. You know, must I be forced to play harp? Okay, that is actually playing harp is not such a bad thing. But that is a bit of a Sunday school caricature of what is available. What I want to share with you is that it is there in Scripture that when Jesus comes again, each and every one of us, those alive and those who are long dead, will rise from the dead. And we'll rise from the dead not just in a kind of a metaphorical, poetic kind of way, but in a very physical way. And that's what the Bible tells us, that just as by one man came death, so by one man, Jesus, has come the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the first fruit of those. He's the first one to be raised from the dead. He's a prototype. He is the model. And as much as that model, already you can see how amazing it is. Jesus can appear in a room behind locked doors without having someone to open unlock the door and open it for him. That's amazing. I don't know what kind of quantum physics is capable of. But that's just one thing. And yet you can see scars, but you are alive. The scars are not hurtful to you. You have memories, but you still have hopes. And we are able to fulfill all the dreams and hopes that God has for us, except minus the sin, minus the corruption, minus all the defects that we have. And I'm praying that my resurrection body will be a little bit, maybe just 3 inches taller, will be fine. Okay. Maybe better eyesight. But I'm sure it'll be beyond my expectation. But jokes aside, that is what we are meant to have. Christ's resurrection, Christ's resurrected body is a foretaste for us of glory divine. And when Christ comes again, we, with a resurrected body, will live with Him in a new heavens and a new earth. And as much as this earth is so diverse and so rich and so abundant, each one of us with different gifts will be doing different things, will be doing things that will bring us profound satisfaction and not playing harp and saxophone alone. And each one of us, God has a place for us in His eternal kingdom that will no longer be corrupted and marred by sin. That body, the Bible says, it is imperishable. It is raised in glory. It is raised in power. It is raised a spiritual body that will never die. That is our Christian hope. So today, death doesn't have the final say. Cancer doesn't have its final say. Environmental degradation, nuclear disaster will not have its final say. Even war and destruction and massacre and genocide and murder, all that will not have a final say. Because Christ is risen from the dead. We will be risen. So even as our life draws to an end on earth, whether it's at a ripe old age, my mother is 93, you know, I think she'll probably still live on a little bit more. Or, you know, maybe like my sister, she passed away at 59, I don't know. You know. But if we have this hope, then we will not need to cling on. We will not need to fall into depression that my life is over. Because what is over is only this chapter. What is over is only this life with all its limitations, which we all know about. But what we live forward, what we look forward to, is like you are moving into your new condo. You are beginning to put all your favorite things there. And you begin to think less of your old house. You're beginning to think more about your new house. And you begin to be more excited. And leaving behind things is not that painful, because what is left behind is an empty shell. When you're looking forward, you are even more excited, because that is where you will be with your loved ones. That is where you will be with Jesus. That is where you will have a new vehicle to live a new life with Jesus. So today, my brothers and sisters, as we think about this fourth surprise, if you truly understand the resurrection, not just 2,000 years ago, not just today, being better and better, contributing to the work of God as His witnesses here and now, day by day, but when all this is done, that the story is still not yet over, but our story continues with the Lord. What would you do differently? How would you live? How would you face death? How would you treat the things in this world that will easily pass away sooner than later? Where would you invest your energy? How would you look towards the future? How would you treat the people around you? If you know that we have another life, that this life is just a rehearsal, this life is just a trailer, the real movie hasn't started yet, the real movie, the real thing is yet to come. So today, my brothers and sisters, as we reflect on this, I want to invite you to meet Jesus. Not the Jesus of fairy tales, not the Jesus that we often treat as a vending machine, but the Jesus who is larger than life. In fact, may I say, the Jesus who is larger than death, the Jesus who has gone beyond and come back and tells us that he can bring us to be with him. Will we follow him? Not just after we die, but will we follow him today? Because if we follow him today, that resurrection can begin even now. You can redeem back the rest of your life. And as you redeem it as fully as you can, even when that is over, then it's only just beginning when we look forward to our resurrection body. So I want to invite you to pause for a moment with me, will you? Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. This sermon is entitled Surprise. Not only surprised by finding chocolate where you didn't expect to find, but surprised that there is a hope that we can live for. Surprised that today and tomorrow for my life can be different from yesterday. No matter how big the mistake, no matter how big the failure, no matter how devastating the diagnosis of cancer, or how bleak the prospects of my business success, no matter what mistake I have made, Jesus, risen from the dead, says to us, peace be with you. Peace, shalom, be with you. That means, don't worry, I'm here. I'm risen from the dead. I'm here to invite you to rise with me. Rise from your past. Rise from your faith in this world only, because there's another world waiting. Arise from where you have fallen and walk with me to where I want to bring you, where you will see the real purpose for your life. A purpose that when Jesus redeems by his resurrection power, will grow in glory, will increase in significance, and will never end, even beyond this life. Just want to invite you to stand with me, will you? Let's stand with me for a moment. Let's stand in his presence. Let's just focus on Jesus, the resurrected one. The surprise of the resurrection, the surprise of Easter. I want to give an invitation to anyone. Perhaps you are hearing this for the first time today and you have suddenly got your eyes open and say, I never knew this before. I never knew that there's life after death. I never knew that my life can be different. I never knew that Jesus was the first one to rise so that I can also have a new future. I've never understood, but now I understand. And I want what Jesus has to offer. I want to follow him. If this is you, even if it's for the first time today, I want you to put your hand on your chest. I don't need you to raise your hand, just put it on your chest. Just put it on your chest and say, yes, Jesus, that's me. Jesus, this is my heart. I've never considered you, because I've treated you just like those people did, that you are just another ordinary man. You are an imposter. You are just a con. But today I know you are more than a con. So today, Lord Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart. I want my life to be different. If that's you, would you just put your hand on your heart right now? I say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want my life to be different from this moment onwards. I put my faith in you, not in the story, not in the fairy tale, but in you, the risen Christ, God who faced death with courage on my behalf, God who is raised from the dead because you are more powerful than death. I want to put my faith in you. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, perhaps silently in your heart or out loud as you wish. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself to me, that you are more than a man, more than a teacher, certainly more than a victim. Thank you for showing me that you are Almighty God. You came to suffer for me so that I know you understand. You shared my suffering. You faced death for my sins. You were raised from the dead on my behalf so that I can follow you. So today, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I want to follow you, to live this life, the only life worth living, the life of the risen Christ. Thank you for accepting me, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to pray a second prayer. And this prayer is for those who have known Jesus for many years, but you are facing a crisis, and that crisis makes the future uncertain for you. Whether that crisis is health, or that crisis is relationship, or that crisis is a job, or business, or whatever it is about your future that seems to be uncertain, I want you to lift up both hands before the Lord, if this is you, and lift up your future before the Lord that is currently facing a crisis, and lift it up to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I put my future in your hands. Let your resurrection power transform me so that I face my future in faith. Let your resurrection power lead me so that whatever is taken away from me, I know that you will give me something back that is far better. If anyone is in that position, whether for crisis of health or crisis of career or relationships or whatever, just raise the hands, raise those hands to the Lord and say, Lord, here is my present. I want to exchange it for a resurrected future. Father, thank you for the hands that are raised. We know that your word is true because every word that you spoke came to pass, even the resurrection from the dead. So Father, as you have promised us the power of your resurrection, so we commit to you that which may be threatened in our life. So even that, Lord, you may do a miracle, that you may bring it back from the brink, you may forestall the disaster. But even if that disaster takes place, Lord, we want to put our trust in you, that you will raise us up, that that will not be the end of us, that even beyond that crisis, there will be a new future. Because beyond the grave, there is a resurrected life, hallelujah. Beyond the tomb, there is a risen Christ. So you will be with me. I will not be destroyed. I will rise as you have risen, and I will stand tall, and I will witness for you and give glory to you. And I will be a display of you doing your transformation work in my life. So I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer this morning. And we're going to sing this song right now as a response to the Lord. And as this song, as we sing this song together, if you have followed me in one of the two prayers that we prayed, either your hand on your chest or your hands lifted up or both, I want to invite you to come forward. And we have prayer companions, our pastors, leaders here. We're here at your service. We are here to pray for you. And we are here to encourage you to step forward into your resurrected life. Okay? But as we sing this song, just feel free to just step forward, and we would love to minister to you. And to the friend who brought you, wishes to accompany you as well, that would be very wonderful. So shall we lift up our voice to offer this song to the Lord?